Nan Hayworth, what's your take on jobs and the economy in the country?
Oh, Alan, we have so much potential, and that's what's so frustrating. We have, I look in my Hudson Valley, in the Hudson Valley that I serve, and we have so many talented people who want to work, who are ready to get to work and apply their expertise and their knowledge, and they're not being hired. And employers have told me, our small and mid-sized businesses have said they are absolutely hesitant to hire and bring on new employees until they know, and they hate to say that, but until they know what the tax situation is going to be like starting January 1st, 2013, what the costs of employment are going to be like, the employer mandate situation, for example, with the 2010 health law. Supreme Court, of course, is going to make a big decision imminently. And so we have so much potential, and we need to let those dollars flow within the marketplace. And the federal government right now is just doing too much and taking too much. We can do better.
Among some Republicans, there's, you know, this whole concept of trickle down, which is that if you give people who own businesses and people at the top enough money, that will make its way to the people who need jobs. Is that your view of life?
Alan, I have to tell you that I define trickle down as what the federal government does. If you think about it, the federal government commands revenues in taxes. And, of course, proportionately, and you can look at a variety of ways we measure these things, but proportionately, those dollars come from those who have prospered more for whatever reason. So the government takes those, federal government takes those dollars and pushes them into the economy in various ways, in some ways through things that are necessary responsibilities of government, like funding our defense, taking care of our veterans, responsibly managing our safety net. Those are all things that we need the federal government to do, but it has gone far beyond that. It has made, quote-unquote, investments in what should be segments of the economy that really belong to the people. And whenever they've done that, it has not gone well for the American people. And that's the problem. If you look at the housing and mortgage marketplace, there was a massive misallocation of dollars into housing and mortgages over the course of a couple of decades. And it was Republicans and Democrats alike who made that happen. And in 2008, that all collapsed because there wasn't the real value in the marketplace to back it up. So that's you know, when the federal government takes and tries to sort of distribute from the federal table, that's when you have trickle down. What we do in the real economy is grow things up. We grow from the ground up. We allow our small businessmen and women, you know, are not the titans of industry. They may become titans of industry, but they're not. You know, and these are the people we want to allow to thrive. So we're not talking about trickle down. We talk about empowering the marketplace and empowering our citizens. That's growing up.
There are those who say that when we've talked trickle down, when we've, you know, there are so many yachts that somebody can buy, so much money that they can have at the top, that they don't really spend it on developing business, but they keep it. Is that wrong?
Alan, there's look at it this way. A dollar can do many things in anybody's hands. But if somebody chooses to spend that dollar on whatever it may be, okay, and if we believe in individual liberty, then as long as that person isn't, you know, spending that dollar to hurt another human being, you know, if they're buying shoes or they're buying a house or they're buying a boat, whatever the case may be, then they're paying for goods and services that other people are providing, right? Now, let's say they decide not to spend that dollar. Let's say they decide to put it in the bank. Well, if they put it in the bank, what's the bank going to do? Well, banks, our banking system is designed to allow banks to lend those dollars to other people who want to do good things with them. Buy a house, buy a car, buy their pay for their children's education. Or let's say they want to take that dollar and they want to invest it. Well, that's where growth opportunity for our businesses comes from. You know, people who are starting up businesses need investors. So there's no argument that a dollar that stays in a citizen's pocket is a bad thing. The federal government, on the other hand, can force dollars out of your pocket. You can go to jail if you don't pay your taxes. You can be penalized. It'll hurt if you don't pay your taxes. So the federal government can actually force dollars out of you and spend those dollars the way government participants, bureaucrats, legislators want them spent. And that may very well not make sense. It often doesn't make sense in the real economy. We have to stop doing that. It's bad for the economy. And that's why so-called stimulus didn't result in growth for our economy. In fact, it's resulted in even higher unemployment, more people in the poverty rolls, and a growth rate that can't sustain the obligations that the federal government does have to fulfill.
Is that true? I mean, you know, the Obama people are saying, well, George Bush is the guy who did it, that we were in terrible trouble and that things are getting better. Do you disagree with that?
Well, they're not, Alan, arguably they're not getting better. On the employment front, we have more Americans unemployed now and lower workforce participation than we've had in decades. And that's been under the 3 years of President Obama's administration. Now, certainly, and of course I mentioned it a couple moments ago, there have been Republicans and Democrats who have contributed to this problem of the federal government spending too much, taking too much, attempting to give the federal government too much of a role in our economy, of trying to control too many things. That's the natural temptation of political people, you know, that they will want to do things and they need to do things with your dollars. It's not their money, but they treat it as though it's their money. And it's certainly, you know, there's enough blame to go around on all sides, but that does not, certainly that does not exonerate the current administration from the role that it has played. It has taken a national debt that was too high at the start and just about doubled it. I mean, that's, it's not the way to manage the economy intelligently, and a lot of folks who voted for President Obama in 2008 expected him to do things differently. And he hasn't, unfortunately. He could do much better, but he hasn't.
Let me ask you something. He made quite an announcement the other day about liberalizing our policies in this country on Hispanic immigration.
Yes.
What was your take on that?
Well, it wasn't specifically, I don't think it was specifically Hispanic immigration. I think it was referring to an executive directive that we would not, that the United States would not endeavor to deport people, I believe, 30 or under in age who had obtained an education or had served in the military. And you know, Alan, there are two ways to think about this. This is one of the more complex issues we face. We do have laws governing immigration in the United States, and it's arguable that we should change those laws and change those numbers and certainly change the way we grant visas for certain types of workers. But nonetheless, there are many people, many Americans who did spend the time and the money and the effort to immigrate according to the law. So respect for the rule of law is something we shouldn't lose in this argument. Having said that, clearly there is tremendous sympathy for children who have no choice in the matter and are brought to the United States illegally by their parents. And those are the people we're talking about in this directive. And this is in line with what the various forms of the DREAM Act have been proposing. I think it would be best by far to do this through legislation. And I imagine that that's going to make its way through the Congress, if not before the election, then after. But, you know, clearly there is a great amount of sympathy for people in that situation.
Thank you, Nan Hayworth. We're going to come back the next time, and I want to just pursue this a little bit more, okay?